Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. What's up, everyone? And welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, I got my pick-and-pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
I just got home, just like Kristaps in Dallas.
Oh, you got a new place, too? Had some barbecue?
I wish. Not in this weather.
Oh, man. That sucks. And the banger in the post, Rajan Walia. How you feeling?
Not much of a banger, but you know what? This trade deadline might be banging.
Ooh, baby. It's already gotten us started. Obviously, everyone's heard by now, Kristaps Porzingis is now a Dallas Maverick, along with, I guess, current teammates still, Courtney Lee, Tim Hardaway Jr., Trey Burke, in exchange for Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, Wes Matthews, and two first-rounders. And now the Knicks have over $70 million in cap space upcoming this summer. Josh, do you think they'll actually get, like, any free agents now?
It's the Knicks, so absolutely not. This whole thing is like a facade. The fact that their fans are like excited about this, that they gave away the best player they've had in 20 years for cap space and a dream, is just ridiculous.
No way. No one's actually happy about this in New York.
No, they're justifying it to themselves. They think that they're getting Kyrie and KD.
Yeah, but I think the justification is more like they're trying to console themselves. They're like, there has to be kind of light at the end of this dark tunnel, which is just getting darker and darker.
It's a 20-year tunnel. It's going to get darker.
It's not 20, man. New York has been pretty trash since like the 70s. Let's be real.
No, but at least they had one good decade-ish in the 90s.
It wasn't like that good. Those 90s Knicks were good, but they weren't like... Like they're like, whatever. You know what I mean?
No, they almost beat Jordan a couple times. They made it to the finals and lost to Hakeem, so they had a run.
I guess. I mean, if you want to consider Toronto as having a run now, sure.
Well, when Toronto makes the finals, we'll consider it a run.
Okay, let's not get into this. Let's not just go there.
So, essentially, the Knicks gave up KP as like, a way to clear contracts this summer, right? Getting rid of Courtney Lee and Tim Hardaway Jr., who they both signed this summer, or signed last summer, which to like stupid contracts. KP was basically essentially like a quote-unquote throw-in just to make it more appealing to Dallas. What the hell?
Yeah, only the Knicks can trade their 22-year-old franchise center who's, you know, been nicknamed a unicorn because there's nobody really else like him in the NBA for cap space. This move is a joke.
Yeah, he's been in the league for like 3 years. He's already an all-star. Obviously, he's recovering from an ACL injury, but like, I'm still so boggled. Basically, the report came out at around noon, maybe 1 o'clock, that he had a meeting with the Knicks, and you know they were obviously frustrated. And then like 3 hours later, he's gone.
Yeah.
There's no way this is legit.
Yeah, I think like Josh mentioned it earlier, like this must have been in the works because... Like, the fact that they traded KP essentially for Dennis Smith Jr. and two picks when it's all said and done, because we probably know that they're not going to be re-signing Wes Matthews or DeAndre Jordan. And they got rid of Courtney Lee and Burks just to dump salary, really. That there probably was something they could have got better in the market. Like, you're looking at a player like we talked about. Like, he's a unique talent. He's already established himself in the NBA, and like he's 22. Yes, it is a major injury, but he's going to have probably another minimum 10 to 12 years in the NBA. So just to get Dennis Smith Jr., who is an all right player right now, he's good. And two draft picks. Like, I think they got really, like, sold short there.
Yeah, it just goes to show you that Knicks management is 100% lying about what happened, because Dirk just said on the low post that this trade was being discussed for at least a few days before this actually happened. So the whole timeline on Twitter where the report came out from Woj that Kristaps was not happy and that he signaled that he wanted to trade, whatever the hell that means. And then 10 minutes later, he gets traded was complete nonsense. And the Knicks saying that, you know, Kristaps threatened that he wasn't going to re-sign, take the qualifying offer. I think that's all nonsense, too.
Well, he probably did say that he didn't want to re-sign. I don't see that being complete lunacy, because he already said that he's not sure if he's going to sign it with Dallas either.
No, but history states that that's never going to be the case, because no player has ever turned down that much money from their original team on their first contract.
Well, if he's saying he's still willing to do it against Dallas, though, maybe he's serious.
No, I think that report is false. Like, why would he turn down an extra, like, $30 million, I think it is, and an extra year on his contract just to become an unrestricted free agent and sign for a lesser amount in less years? That doesn't make any sense. I don't think that report is factual.
I mean, Anthony Davis is potentially letting go of, like, $80 million by not re-signing his Supermax.
That's different, though. He's already made his money. And plus, he's still going to make a ton of money in a bigger market as well.
But then, if you're KP, you have to deal with the Knicks. Right? Like, this whole push for players having their own autonomy now is just, do you.
Also, I think that the DeAndre Jordan is not going to stay in New York thing may not actually be a thing, because apparently his best friends are very good friends with KD, so that might be part of the whole trade as well.
Really?
Yes, yes. From what I've read, he's very good friends with Kevin Durant, so that could be an angle where if he doesn't get bought out or traded at the deadline, you know, that might be part of the whole package.
Or they buy him out and then he goes to the Warriors. Right?
Yeah, and plays
DeMarcus and then DeAndre? Oh.
The Warriors.
Who will ever talk shit about that team again?
Yeah, the Warriors are just going to make sure that any weakness that has been ever mentioned about them gets nullified right there and then.
Exactly. And then they grab Wes Matthews while they're at it.
Yeah, talk Might about well. A guy who's going to be, you know, hot in the buyout market. That guy's, you know, going to be scorching.
Man, every team is going to want Wes Matthews. Even as like an eighth guy off the, or a, yeah, like an eighth man in the rotation. He'd be perfect. Maybe not like a starter, but off the bench, he's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. But to go to Dallas' side of things, now they've paired, you know, Luka Doncic, who's going to be one of the best players in the NBA as soon as maybe even next year, with the unicorn, and their games seem to fit perfectly together because, you know, both of them are pick and roll players. Both of them can do multiple things off the dribble. KP can post. He can basically do everything on the floor as well, just same as Luka. So, and the Dallas Mavericks don't really have much of a cap sheet even next year, despite taking on Tim Hardaway's contract. He's got 2 years left on his deal. He's got a player option for the third year, which is $18 million, sure. But I think he's gonna be a good fit there. I think that, you know, despite the money that he's making $18 million a year, which is like a little bit above an average starter, which is around $15 million. I think in Rick Carlisle's offense that, you know, demands spacing and guys that can shoot the ball, I think he's gonna fit well with Luka.
I think he'll get a lot of open looks now too.
Yeah, he's not gonna shoot 39% from now on. He's gonna be in the mid-40s, I think.
Yeah, lower that those field goal attempts a bit, and I'm gonna think close to similar productivity out of him.
Unless of course he turns into Harrison Barnes and shoots like, you know, 30% from mid range, then we'll see.
Impossible. I don't think anyone's gonna drop like Harrison Barnes. Oh man, how would you grade this trade? Let's say for the Knicks first.
F, wow.
F minus.
Are you being optimistic there, or you're that's really how you feel?
Oh my god.
What's a grade below F? Like, you know, back in like middle school, if you did really, really bad in a test or something, like what would they give you?
Just an come A? See me. Come see me after class.
Yeah, report to the principal's office.
Yeah, I don't like this trade. Raj, what do you think about it?
I would give it a D or a D plus. Like, again,
a D plus.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just think that the fact that they got two first round picks from this, like, kind of made me feel like, hey, it's not the end of the world. And at least they have those two picks.
If it's a first round pick where, you know, Dallas is good because KP is back, then the pick's going to be in like the 25th to 30 range, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's still an asset in terms of trade value. Like maybe in a year when they still have those two picks, like they're willing to flip them to another team and acquire a veteran or, in this case, if they're still looking, if they don't end up with Kyrie or KD, they still have two young players coming in. And yes, it might be later picks, but they're still assets. Like without those two picks, it's probably worse than what grade you gave, Josh.
Maybe in a couple of years when Zion Williams is on the team, the Knicks can trade those picks with Zion to create more cap space.
Or Zion will be on Dallas.
You never
know.
After
they tank it out this year.
I just don't see how we can trust Knicks management to actually do the right thing and make a good decision based on what's happened the last even 5 years.
No, that means they have to be super confident that Durant is coming, right? Like, they have to know something on the inside. Because there's no way that you would just trade KP for essentially Dennis Smith Jr.
It's I don't the care, Knicks, like, how... so yes, no, they could.
It doesn't matter how upset with the organization he is, man. This is, like, insanely shitty. This is worse than them trading for Andrea Bargnani.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. That trade was hilarious, too. They traded, like, the 9th pick in the draft for Andrea Bargnani, who was a negative ass at the time. I had to reread that on Twitter, like, 5 times. I'm like, we got a first-round pick out of this deal? I thought we were giving it with Andrea to take back. It didn't make any sense.
That was a Maasai magic.
But yeah.
But this one's incredible.
I think just to flip the script, Dallas, I thought, did amazingly well. Like, when one person gets an F, I guess someone else has to probably get an A. I would say it just really depends on how bad that injury is, and we probably won't find out until next year if, like, KP is going to come back the same. But right now I'm giving this, like, trade an A, at worst an A minus.
Yeah, he's already said that he's sitting out the rest of the year, right?
Yeah, Mark Cuban said that yesterday.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing. I mean, I know Dallas doesn't have their pick this year, but at the same time, if he's not going to be ready by just after the trade deadline, what's the point of bringing him back?
Yeah, let him rest. Do the rehab properly.
You know, that medical team is, you know, lauded for being one of the best in the NBA. So, I mean, they kept Dirk healthy for such a long time as well.
Decently healthy.
Yeah, and they rehab Wes Matthews back to health, too, after his Achilles injury. So, he's looked good this year, too. Most people thought he was sort of a write-off, but he's played pretty well this year.
What would you grade it for Dallas?
A plus, 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 infinity.
Okay, we get it. All right.
I mean, you get a 22-year-old franchise-level player for a bunch of guys on expiring contracts and two picks that are going to be worthless if KP's healthy. You basically got him for free.
It's also a gamble for them too, though, right? Because if he's not healthy, or if he doesn't, I don't know, if he doesn't perform to what we're expecting, if he actually like signs a qualifying offer and wants to leave in 2020, I mean, they've essentially traded Dennis Smith Jr. and two first rounders.
He's not going to sign a qualifying offer.
You never know, man. Why would, like,
the history of the NBA states that that's never happened, so why would it start now when he's going to be with one of the, you know, most popular superstars in a long time?
And yeah, right. I don't see it either, but why would he say it now that he still plans to?
I don't think he actually said that. Of Woj's sources is feeding Sham some bullshit just so Woj can, like, take advantage and still stay on top.
Ah, so now you're thinking it's a media sabotage.
Yeah, because Woj came out with a report like right after Shams tweeted that KP was going to take the qualifying offer, where he said that KP hasn't really decided on his future yet. Like, literally, like, 2 minutes after Shams put that report out, and that he would, you know, speak with the organization first before, you know, he decides anything. Like, come on.
Ah, I didn't realize it was that close in time. I thought it was, like, before or something.
No. Woj is muddying the water.
That's a smart guy, man.
Indeed.
All right, you want to move on to a quick AD rant? Because obviously on Friday night, Woj tweeted out what the Lakers have been offering them, and it's not great. We're looking at a first initial offer of Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, former New Orleans Pelican Rajon Rondo, Michael Beasley, and a first round pick for Anthony friggin' Davis.
Yeah,
are you insane?
It seems like the Lakers haven't learned their lesson after, you know, trying to trade for Paul George for pennies on the dollar, then Kawhi as well, not willing to give up, you know, Ingram and a few other pieces for him. So they might as well keep in line and keep trying to screw teams over and not getting the player that you want. Might as well continue with that path.
It's so weird. When did Magic become such a cheap guy?
Well, he's got to save his money. I forget, you know, for those yachts that he's always on Instagram and Twitter with.
I was going to say for all those tampering fines.
That too.
Yeah, like I think the Lakers, they're almost shooting themselves in their own foot, because if they're offering this garbage up to New Orleans, like, it's almost insulting, and no team's going to want to do business with you when you offer them pretty much scraps that you picked up this offseason, and now that you're trying to make it seem like they're high-value players and trading for Anthony Davis.
Scraps.
They literally went to the scrapyard and picked up like Rajon Rondo on a 1 year, Beasley, who I think was on no team's radar, and they were like, oh, do you want to trade him for one of maybe the 10 best players to ever play the game when all is said and done in 15 years?
See, I equate this to back in the day when we used to play Pokemon, and somebody tried to trade you like a Pikachu card for like a limited edition Charizard card inside of like
holographic.
The plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I equate this
good
to.
Correction.
No,
it has to be a holographic. Make sure.
Yeah, and we're not even talking about.
It can't just be mint condition.
We're not even talking about Pikachu. We're talking about like a Rattata or whatever. Like.
Yeah, Jigglypuff.
Or Pidgey. Wow, this is making it sound really old, because we can only name the first 150.
So what
happens with AD?
It's totally ridiculous. Like, he's not going to get traded at the deadline. It's not going to happen. Nobody wants to trade the Lakers. I think the best part that came out of this whole ordeal was a report that came out that said Greg Popovich told Dell Demps, do not deal with the Lakers. Make them suffer.
Well, smart, as he should. Dell Demps is a former Spur executive too, right? Or a coach or something? Like, he's associated to Pop for sure. So you might as well. I would try to sabotage them. What I'm more interested in is AD's dad saying that he doesn't want his son to play in Boston because of how they treated Isaiah Thomas, like, last summer, I guess.
That was... Last summer? Yeah, that was something else. Like, that when that came out, I knew that Danny Ainge must have been like, are you serious? Because this guy's trying to be a mastermind of playing the GM role in this league and trying to win every trade, trying to build the best roster. And then when this comes back to hurt you, not re-signing IT and arguably not getting the player that you've been obsessed with, it was just quite the story. And I honestly don't think he's going to go to Boston for that reason. Maybe his dad just doesn't like them and realizes that they're an organization that has no loyalty.
So my issue is that, say that he doesn't get traded during this during the next week before the deadline, which I think all of us agree he won't, right?
I still think there's a chance, but like not likely, so probably not.
Okay. So say July 1 comes around, they get Kyrie to re-sign, assuming that he doesn't go to the Knicks, Kyrie re-signs in Boston. AD can't decide to not play if he gets traded there, right? Unless he like holds out, but I don't see that happening. So why does Danny Ainge actually care what his dad has to say about it?
That note, going back to when Kevin Garnett didn't demand a trade, but you know, talked with Wolves management and they decided that it would be best for both parties to finally let him go. The same sort of situation happened with the Wolves and the Celtics with KG's agent. So this is what he said before the trade happened. The Boston trade isn't happening, according to Garnett's agent, Andy Miller. If a trade were to happen, that's not a destination that we're interested in pursuing. So even though this, you know, situation has sort of occurred in the past, like, Danny Ainge doesn't really care if AD says this. If he can get AD, he's convinced that he's going to be able to try to keep him afterwards.
Exactly. Like, what are you going to do? Say no?
No, I don't think he can say, like, he can say no, like in reality. But I think what happens is Boston's going to look at the situation, and if he's consistently saying that he's only going to be a rental for them for the 1 year, it makes it a little more difficult to part pieces. And I think with the attitude Danny Ainge has, like, he's won pretty much every trade that he's been part of. It's going to be hard for him to say he won that trade, like, to convince himself that this is the right move if he doesn't even have, like, the assurance that AD's even considering them. Like, at least with Kawhi's situation, he hasn't openly said, I'm only a rental for Toronto. Like, he might be thinking that, but he hasn't openly said that to people.
Nah, he's not thinking that. He's staying.
Well, again, let's just not go there.
Okay. Anyways. But Paul George said that he was going to LA no matter what. And then once the offseason came through, he just re-signed quicker than anyone.
Yeah, but there's a difference.
Right, the whole purpose...
But there's a difference, though.
No, the whole purpose is to get them in the door, and then you do convincing from the inside.
No, I understand that, but there's a difference when Paul George didn't come to OKC and was like, I'm not going to stay in OKC. Like, he didn't...
Yeah, he did. He said he was set on going to LA.
Which is still different. It's like, I'm set on leaving, not like, I'm not willing to play for you guys long term. Like, I understand they both equate to the same thing, but like, the fact that he said, I don't see Boston as a long term place where I want to play.
No, that's what his dad said. Not Anthony Davis himself.
Well, his camp is coming out saying that the Knicks and the Lakers are the preferred destinations, and they are the long-term options, whereas all other places are rental.
Man, you're right, but I still think that you go for it and try to get him in the door and see what happens. It's a lot harder to say no once you're already inside.
No, absolutely, but I just think that it's hard to trade up pieces that probably Boston wants to hold on to if they know that they're not going to be able to re-sign AD long-term. Like, it just makes the trade a little harder.
Yeah, I think it's all dependent on Kyrie. Like, if they get Kyrie to re-sign, I think they go for it. But if he leaves, then you obviously just hold on to everything and just try to build around Tatum and, like, Hayward, essentially.
Or you make the trade anyway.
For AD?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's Danny Ainge and he doesn't give a shit. He wants to win every trade, and by getting the second or first best player in the NBA, he's doing that.
We'll see.
For what? No, I don't think so. I don't think that'd be considered a win. Without your star point guard? Nah.
No, but they can just re-sign Rozier, who played well in the playoffs last year, and build a defensive monster. I mean, that team made the conference finals, so you replace Tatum and a few picks and maybe one other player with Anthony Davis. You obviously do that.
Yo, are you sold on Terry Rozier?
As what?
As a quality starting point guard.
I think he can be like an average starting point guard, like a Jeff Teague.
Yeah, I think that's like his ceiling. Is between a rating between like a 15 to 18 caliber.
I think he can, you know, especially on this team, just sort of how like Marcus Smart fits on this team. I think that he fits better with Boston than he would in another team where he had to do more. Because he's a really good defensive point guard, too. And offensively, he's on and off, obviously. Like, his shooting's all over the place. But he can run the team, which he showed in the playoffs, and he can hit big shots. So at least he's willing to take those shots. And he's a confident guy, obviously, and he's still young. So if you get him on discount deal and Kyrie goes somewhere else, it's not like you're rebuilding at that point.
That's true. All right. The last rumor we've heard so far, Mike Conley in exchange for Ricky Rubio. How do we feel about this? Josh, I think you basically called Conley going to Utah a while ago, so.
Well, I called the Kristaps trade too, which I should be bragging more about, but I'm not going to do
that. No, I don't think we have any record of that. I don't think we have any record of that, sorry.
Well, after I said Kristaps is going to Toronto, I immediately said he's going to Dallas.
No, but still come to Toronto. Sign that qualifying offer.
Seriously. Yeah, with Conley, the reports have come out that said like most teams are not really going after him because most teams have a point guard already since it's such a point guard rich league. But Utah is the one team that has shown interest thus far. They've offered Ricky Rubio and, as you said, like a couple first round picks, I think. But the only issue they're running into is they're not sure if they want to keep Conley on like a, you know, he has 3 years left on his contract, which is a lot of money left over. I think it's like 25 to 30 million next couple of years per year.
Yeah.
So they have to decide whether they're going to spend the money to try to contend right now. But if they do, I mean, a couple of years ago, they had George Hill, who was a really good point guard in their system. And Mike Conley is like George Hill, but on steroids. So
I think, but much better. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and adding him to the system, like Conley's a really good defensive point guard. He's a great decision maker and he's a beast in the playoffs. So that's a team that can give Golden State a run. Not saying they would beat them, but they would win a couple of games in that series for sure. If they have, you know, Conley, Mitchell, Ingles, you know, Crowder, Favors and Gobert and a pretty deep bench as well. I mean, that's the kind of lineup that could beat Golden State. Like you need a bunch of guys that can out physical them. And just have a guy in the middle that can, you know, shut down when Curry and, you know, KD go to the basket. So I would love that trade.
Yeah. So does it happen before the trade deadline?
Memphis has to do something. So I'm going to say yes. I think that's going to happen. And plus, I've already predicted Gasol is going to Sacramento. So that's going to happen as well.
That's a really random one. I don't see that one happening, but I do see Conley getting traded.
Yeah, I'd say out of the potential big players that are probably on their way to a different team this trade before the trade deadline, I think Connolly's probably the highest percent chance. And I do think that Utah's like a perfect fit. And I don't know what Memphis is getting back with Ricky Rubio. I'm pretty sure that Utah's going to have to give at least one more piece or a pick. But they do have to take on that big contract that Connolly is on. But I think he's worth every penny if he stays healthy.
What's Rubio's contract look like? Do you know?
I'm checking that right now.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's nowhere near Conley's, but it's I think it's around $15 million.
This is his last year, too. So he's expiring after this year.
Yeah, he's got $15 million left. So, I mean, you trade one other, two other guys. What's that?
That'd be perfect for Memphis because then they get off of it, too, right?
Yep, and maybe they trade a guy like Dante Exum with them who's making $10 million, and then you make the salaries match that way, and Exum's still a young player that can develop. And that contract's not terrible. I mean, he has 2 years left on his deal at $10 million a year, which is less than your average starter. So.
Yeah, and he's a decent point guard.
Yeah, he's a great defensive point guard, too. Yeah. So maybe you just try to bottom out, obviously, and let him play as many minutes as possible.
Dante Exum, the James Harden stopper.
That's a real thing, literally.
Legitimately a real thing.
Seriously.
All right, I think that's it for our quick emergency pod since KP got traded. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. Find us on you know, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, all the major networks, Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And obviously, we're going to have some more content coming up this week with the deadline. So until next time, peace. Thank you.